here on the Draft Dudes podcast, presented by Locked On. It's Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs from the Draft Network, and we are your hosts here on this Monday episode of the show. Today's episode is brought to you by Pepsi. Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch this season. Pepsi is a refreshment you need to power through any game day, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Kyle, it's Thanksgiving week, man.
Life is terrible.
No,
life stinks.
Don't do that.
I'm mad.
Don't ride the roller coaster.
I'm angry.
Okay, well, can we start on a positive note?
Because we have lots to be thankful for.
We do.
If we're being honest.
Right.
We finally did it. No, this is your big thing. Go ahead.
How is this my big thing?
Because I think it's you talked about it beforehand.
Okay.
About doing it. So
all right.
We finally made the plunge. Go ahead and tell everybody what happened.
And we got a producer. A real one.
A real producer.
So when we say I'll check
Our
with my producer.
Working on it.
Yeah, it's a real person. None other than Chris Schubert, a guy that we're familiar with. We've been working with him for a long time, dating back to our time with FanRag Sports. Fine background in audio production and radio. And he's going to help bring this show to the next level. I'm going to be calling him Shuby, because that's what I've called him for a long time. So if you hear me say Shuby
or Shuby-Doo.
You can call him Shooby-Doo. I'm calling him Shooby. It may take on a life of its own.
It's going to. We already had our producer as this prestigious mystery man, and now this person has a face and a name.
Shooby, will you say hello to the Draft Dudes listeners?
Hello, everybody. So I thought about this earlier today when we first started this. We had a focus group, and the focus group said, what is Draft Dudes missing? Another representative from the AFC East. So I'm here to represent the New York Jets, and we can all join in this plunge together.
Already off on a bad foot.
Where do we even go from here? Okay, so congrats on missing the playoffs for the 10th consecutive season.
Yep, it's official.
I'll be impressed when you get to 17.
We'll get there. We're trending that way.
Oh, Lordy.
All right. So we got Shuby. He'll make this podcast sound great, and he'll balance us out from time to time. When Kyle and I are fisticuffs,
yeah,
Shuby can be
the tiebreaker. He's the tiebreaking vote.
All right, Kyle. Well,
so some things happened this weekend.
Some very sad things happened.
Yeah. The Cincinnati Bengals lost again, falling to 2-7-1 on the season, but their biggest loss was not the loss of the game against the Washington football team, but rather Joe Burrow left knee injury, presumed torn ACL. Joe Burrow has already said, see you next year. Joe Burrow done for the season, Joe.
Yeah, I'm really disappointed. And what did we talk about? Our concern with the environment and situation that Joe Burrow was entering is that they weren't ready for him from an offensive line perspective. I mean, I saw the word malpractice on Twitter, and I'm not sure I don't disagree with the replacement level caliber blockers this man had in front of him all season long, getting hit a ton, getting pressured a ton, getting sacked a ton. Color me not surprised that as we get done with his 10th start or whatever it was, that his left knee has been shattered.
I mean, you think back to the Philadelphia game early in the season. And we said, this dude is getting plastered. Every other time he drops back to hit, he's getting shellacked. And Bengals fans will tell you, well, the pass protection's been better in recent weeks. And it was better than what it was earlier. But inevitably, when you're starting offensive line, when they're healthy, is Jonah Williams, Michael Jordan, Trey Hopkins, Alex Redmond, and Bobby Hart. You can't have it. This was always going to be the Achilles heel for this team when they had talented skill players. We like some of what they have on the defensive side of the football, obviously. losing Carlos Dunlap. The trade deadline didn't hurt, and Carlos Dunlap decided he likes playing football again. Now he's out of Cincinnati, and he's being a beast for the Seahawks. But this offensive line, like, the silver lining, if you want to find a silver lining here, is there's a 0% chance the Bengals do not end up with Penei Sewell now, because their quarterback now is Ryan Finley. They yeah. will. Are they going to win another game?
Probably not. So when we look at the final stat line for Joe Burrow in the year 2020, 10 starts, his team's 2-7-1, completes 65.3% of his passes, 2,688 yards, 13 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, winds up 6.7 yards per attempt, passer rating of 89.8, sacked 32 times, 7.3% of his dropbacks.
32 times.
He was under pressure 20% of his dropbacks.
Can't have it.
Threw the ball a ton. Yeah. Vince Tobin, there's a mock draft simulator on the draftnetwork.com. They're sorted by position. So offensive tackles and interior offensive line. You're really going to want to focus your time right there. And oh, by the way, how about getting some veterans in there that can play as well?
Yeah, that's the other big thing that stands out. But Joe, this wasn't the only rookie quarterback struggles we saw in week 11. Tua Tagovailoa yanked in favor of Ryan Fitzpatrick. And Brian Flores said after the game that it was a matter of Fitzpatrick in the two-minute offense gave us the best chance to tie the game.
Wasn't the two-minute offense when he was yanked, right? Wasn't it like 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, but they went fast the entire time.
Here's my issue, and I watched this game in totality yesterday.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. You wasted 3.5 hours of your day.
Well, I think we had different interests.
Yeah, you were probably real happy.
Look, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to be that guy. I thought that this team looked different than it did all year. And I'm not talking about, like, you know, they still got the turnover early in the game. You kind of felt like, okay, here we go. The Dolphins, as much as we think, like, turnovers and special teams can't possibly continue to be at this level. You're like, oh my God, it's not going to stop. Drew Lock on the heels of throwing all those interceptions against the Raiders. You know, he just goes in and lobs one to Xavier Howard. My thought was offensively, this team looked different in that. Did it feel like to you that they were asking Tua to be more of a progression style passer in this game?
Yes.
And not only that, but you had an offensive line that just did not handle the pressure packages that Vic Fangio was sending at them.
Get off my team, Jesse Davis.
He had his struggles. A lot of guys had the struggles. So when you look at this, it's like, okay, well, this wasn't what we watched for the first three Tua games. This is a different team, and I'm not sure why against a really established defensive mind like Vic Fangio, it was time to like try to go to a progression style passing offense with Tua when that's not what he's done.
When I remember texting you, and I'm like, this is, I don't know what their game plan was this week, but it sucked. Whatever they drew up and said, yeah, this is how we're going to win this week, it didn't work. And Joe, 40% of Tua's pass attempts went into tight windows. They were categorized by Next Gen Stats as aggressive throws because nobody got open. And it's like, okay, you want to play traditional dropback passing when your wide receivers are Devontae Parker, who's perfectly fine as like a 1B in the NFL, Malcolm Perry, Antonio Callaway, Mac Hollins. Mike Gesicki's playing more wide receiver than anything, and he has not won a single rep as against soft coverage, running these speed outs and seven routes that they have him running since they've started splitting him outside as the ISO receiver on the back end of the set. He can't separate. So there's no separation anywhere to be had. And you want to play traditional drop back passing and not do what Tua does best, which is run RPOs.
When it comes to getting or staying in shape, nothing feels as good as the feeling of accomplishment, of hitting your fitness goals and feeling great about yourself. Echelon can get you there. Echelon offers the next generation of connected fitness bikes, fitness mirrors, rowing machines, and their all-new Stride Smart treadmill. No matter what your favorite fitness activity is, Echelon gives you a fun and challenging workout from the comfort of your home. Their world-class instructors will motivate you with thousands of daily live and on-demand studio-level classes always available when you need them. Unlike their competitors, Echelon is affordable for everyone, and one membership lets up to five family members all work out at the same time. Right now, you can try any Echelon fitness equipment at home for 30 days. Go to echelonfit.com/NFL. That's echelonfit.com/NFL.
This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch this season. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi. Made for football watching.
So, Tua's back next week against the Jets?
Yes, Jets next week.
So, it's a nice, I mean, worked out well for Herbert, right? Herbert went from just being confused as hell against Miami, went to play the Jets, and now all the hype's back. So
he threw more touchdowns and incompletions in the first half of that game.
Listen, talk about your get-right opponent, right, that you want. And then on the heels of that, you have Cincinnati before things stiffen up. I mean, let's face it, Patriots, Raiders, Bills, and Chiefs, that's a tough last quarter of the season. And we talked about this, Kyle, whenever we were forecasting Miami, we actually had them losing the Cincinnati game. We figured somewhere in this group,
they had to lose somewhere.
It had to happen because – and you made a good counterpoint because my point going into it was like, yeah, I'm into Miami. I'm buying a lot of this, but eight in a row. And then you're like, well, dude, they've already won five. So what's the big deal?
It's already bucked expectations.
So yeah, you swapped the Denver loss for the Cincinnati loss. And I think what the Dolphins want to achieve is still there, but
there's going to be there's going to be a 10 win team that misses the playoffs in the AFC. I'm telling you right now, because I've been looking at it all morning. It's going to happen.
So the Dolphins went from the sixth seed to being out if it ended today.
They are currently the ninth ranked team in the AFC at
6-4. Baltimore Ravens are not in.
Baltimore is also not in at 6-4. They lost in overtime, blew a game to the Titans. And oh, by the way, now you got to go play Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh on Thanksgiving.
Tackling's important, right, Baltimore? Holy I mean, AJ Brown and Derrick Henry on two individual plays said, you know what?
They said, little boy.
Not losing today.
Carry him.
Marcus Peters, man, still not interested in making a tackle.
Yeah, no, Marcus Peters had that business decision against Cam Newton and the Patriots last week, too. He's had a rough little stretch here. But Joe, Baltimore's in really good shape in the grand scheme of things. After Pittsburgh, do you know what this schedule looks like?
I'm going to after you tell me.
Well, no, I think Shuby's going to tell us. Shuby's going to come in here over the top. Our producer's in the process of looking this up right now. But Baltimore's schedule is incredibly easy after they play Pittsburgh. So even if they lose and they take their fifth loss, running the table should not be out of the question after week 12 for Baltimore.
Here you go, gentlemen. You ready for the schedule here? Kyle just mentioned please. They play Pittsburgh, as we mentioned, on Thursday night. The Thursday night that Joe says has no good games on it. They play Dallas the following Thursday, at Cleveland on Monday night, Jacksonville, New York, at Cincinnati to close the season.
So I don't want to disrespect Cleveland, but the rest of that looks like
10-6 at worst, right?
Yeah, because that would be giving them two more losses.
Yeah, two. Pittsburgh is one.
Yeah, Pittsburgh and some other game.
Whether it's Cleveland, who Baltimore shellacked the first time through, and Cleveland looked pretty cruddy against Philly. I know it was raining and
cold. Yeah, they've had three bad weather games in a row.
Yeah. And that plays so well to their style.
Oh, my God. Nick Chubb is such an animal. Kareem Hunt's such an animal. Did you have him RB1? You wanted to, I think. You had Saquon still, but
I had Saquon RB1. I had Nick Chubb as a top 10 player in the draft.
I'll make you feel better on this Monday. Kyle's good at evaluating running backs.
That is one of the positions in which I typically see fairly well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the Baltimore's, they're going to get 10 wins, right? Cleveland's at 7 now.
7-3. They're the sixth seed.
It's unbelievable, man.
Because their division, the Pittsburgh's three games up in the division.
Hey, by the way, do you know who Cleveland plays this week?
No.
Jacksonville.
8-3.
8-3. The Colts, 7-3.
Raiders gave the Chiefs everything they can handle.
Yeah, that's...
They're 6-4 with two losses to Kansas City.
No, they beat Kansas City.
Or, excuse me, one loss to Kansas City, yeah.
So...
With no defensive talent, Kyle. That team doesn't have any good players on defense.
That's what's so crazy, right? And you think about it, and it's like, okay, is this just a team that's constructed well to compete with the teams in their division? Do you think that's the case here?
Gives them a chance. They're in it. If that's the case, they're in it.
Because the whole objective is build a team that can win the division.
Easiest path to the playoffs. And the
Raiders, crazily enough, have given the Chiefs fits in both games. Mahomes needed some last-minute magic to pull that game out last night.
Yeah, they're 3-1 in the division, with the only thing being a last-minute drive from Mahomes, which, dude, he made that look so damn easy. Like,
of course he did.
I mean, like, he looked like he was playing against air in that last drive. The way and then he takes off, he moves that safety, just throws it in there to Travis Kelce. It's like, so demoralizing. He's like LeBron, like vintage LeBron. You feel like,
oh, you just pissed off all the MJ homers.
Listen, you can say LeBron's great while simultaneously thinking,
no,
Michael
only
Jordan,
only one's no, allowed to be great.
That's the dumbest conversations in the world. But when you watch LeBron, you feel like this guy can score anytime he wants to. He pushes that button, nobody's stopping him. And I get that vibe with Patrick Mahomes all the time.
So we're looking at the AFC playoff picture right now because it's nuts. You've got the Browns, the Titans. The Titans are the 5. Colts are tied but have the head-to-head win. But they play each other this week, Joe, again. So second time in 3 weeks that the Colts and Titans play. Titans really need that one or else they're going to be relegated probably to being a wild card team. But at 7-3, they're in really good shape. They've got 82% make the playoffs. Colts have 77% chance to make the playoffs. The Raiders sitting at 67% at 6-4 have better equal percentage according to 538 than the 7-3 Browns do to make the playoffs. Both of those teams right around 67-69%.
Say that again. I want that to sink in better this time.
Okay. So you've got the Colts at 7-3 leading the division. They have a 77% chance to make the playoffs and a 56% chance to win the AFC South. The Tennessee Titans have an 82% chance to make the playoffs, 44% chance to win the AFC South. Both of those teams, 7-3, they play each other this week. So the loser, I mean, they're still going to have great odds to make the playoffs. The Raiders and Browns both have equal percent odds to be the other two wild card teams at around 68%, despite the fact that the Browns are 7-3 and the Raiders are 6-4. I don't know if that's because the Browns still have to play Pittsburgh and Baltimore each again or what. But you're outside looking in, Miami at 33% odds, New England at 8% odds.
So you said Miami went, their odds got cut in half with that.
Yeah,
loss.
They were at about 60% coming into this week, and now they're 33.
After that first drive, I'm sitting there like, damn it, the Dolphins are going to be 9-3 before we blink.
Well, I mean, they could still get a chance to get to 8-4.
Yeah.
But according to 538, if they win their next two games and nothing else changes, I don't pick any of the games. It's a really cool tool that they got over there. Definitely swing over, check it out. Their odds go from 33% to 45%. They still are less than a coin flip if they win their next two games against the Jets and Bengals, which they should to get to 8-4. So that's what I'm saying. There's going to be a 10-win team in the AFC that probably misses the playoffs unless Miami finishes with 9. But I don't see any way that they... Let me be responsible with what I'm about to say. We should expect, based on a refocused Miami team playing two teams that have a combined 2 wins this late in the season, you would think that Miami would win to get to 8-4, but still less than a 50% chance to make the playoffs at 8-4.
It's because those last 4. It's Patriots, it's Raiders, it's Chiefs, it's Bills.
Yep. But they have a head-to-head with the Raiders in there.
Yeah, that helps them, but it's still a tough game. Is that in Vegas?
Yes.
So you have Chiefs.
Chiefs and Patriots at home.
You're home. Okay.
Yep.
That last four looks tough, man.
But if you go 2-2, I mean, they lost to New England already this season. New England obviously is an interesting team, but I think you just start doing the math. Cleveland has a really good road to get 10 wins. We went through Baltimore already. The Raiders, their next two games are Falcons and Jets.
Okay. Okay.
So after that, they play the Colts, which is a really big game from an AFC playoff standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And then they play the Chargers and then the Dolphins and close at Denver. So they are, again, looking likely to hit 10 wins.
That's why you got to win your division, man.
10-win team with an expanded playoff field is going to miss the playoffs in 2020.
That's crazy.
Can't wait.
That's absolutely crazy to me.
Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. So whether you're looking for a healthy snack, a breakfast on the go, something post-workout, or just like delicious things, Built Bar can fill the void for you. And best of all, Built Bar doesn't just taste good, it blows the nutritional facts of your typical protein bar out of the water. It's got 200 calories per bar or less, up to 20 grams of protein per bar, 18 delicious flavors to choose from, and 1/7 the grams of carbs and sugar of your typical protein bar. So if you're looking for a change up in your diet, visit BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, and you can save 20% off your next order of Built Bar. That's BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCKEDON to save 20% and find out what all the fuss is about for yourself.
So the draft order is taking shape here, Kyle.
No, it's equally crazy. Let's be honest.
You can go from the third pick to the
15th pick
real quick. Real quick. All right. So, but the race at the top is the interesting piece, right? The Jets are 0-10. The Jaguars are 1-9. The Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes is right there. And dude, there's some people pushing panic on Justin Fields after kind of a shaky performance against Indiana.
Stop it.
So look, it's funny how last week, Justin Fields is no consolation prize. I mean, he's as good. He might even be better than Trevor Lawrence. Now it's like, Indiana showed him some looks that he wasn't ready for. And can he really start next year? I mean, come on. But I don't feel like anyone's getting in the top two that's not the Jets or Jaguars, right?
No. And Cincinnati probably won't win again, but I don't know if I see the Jets won't win twice. Sorry, Shuby. And Jacksonville's probably not going to win again. I mean, they've played some teams tough. They gave Green Bay everything that they can handle, and who knows with Gardner Minshew coming back, maybe he brings a spark. I know Jake Luton throwing four picks in a freaking game against Pittsburgh is, you know, that was about as one side of a game as you could possibly draw up. It's going to be these two teams. It's going to be Jets and Jags. It's just a question of what order. Interestingly enough, who has a worse strength of schedule right now? Do you know? So if they finish tied, who would have the number one pick? Do you know?
It's the team with the lesser one, so it would be the Jaguars. They're at 5-53. Yeah.
Correct.
So the three, like if you look at the 3-10 range,
yeah, separated Dallas by won.
But yesterday, Dallas won, Washington won, the Chargers won.
The Giants have won twice in a row. They were off yesterday.
Houston won, Carolina won.
Morons.
Kyle, I have a question for you. I thought about leading with this, but I wanted to put you on the spot, and this is a good time for this question. So I was at like a family outdoor gathering on Sunday, or excuse me, Saturday. And you know how it is. The people know you're the football guy, so they ask you football questions. Pretty high-level stuff, but I actually got a good one. And the question was, Trevor Lawrence is great, but if you could pick any team for him to go to, regardless of where they're picking in the draft or what quarterback they already have, what team would you pick Trevor Lawrence to go to that you think would be like the best fit? And I thought about it, and I came to this team, and I got real giddy.
Okay.
And I'm interested knowing, I'm trying to talk to give you enough time to come up with your answer. I want to see where you go with this.
Can't you just tell me what yours is?
Well, I was wanting to see if we would get to the same thing, but
is it a playoff team? Is it a playoff?
No, No, this team's not going to the playoffs.
It's not a playoff team.
Nope. Nope. Which offense would he flourish in?
I mean, there's a bunch of them.
Well, yeah. So that's the thing is Trevor Lawrence is a transcendent player.
Is it Carolina?
Yes.
All right, there you go. Sick.
So that's the point. What the hell was the point of bringing in Teddy and winning four games? Could you imagine Trevor Lawrence with Joe Burrow, with Joe Brady, with DJ Moore, with Robbie Anderson, with the weapons that you can continue to add, with Christian McCaffrey? Carolina's going to finish with 5 or 6 wins, something like that. It'd be the most pointless 5 or 6 wins a team ever got in their entire life.
Your wife's probably pretty distraught about that, isn't she?
My wife is pissed. She wants Trevor Lawrence.
She was mentally bought into the, what was she calling it? The something year?
She called it, what was it? Voluntary sabotage.
Yeah, voluntary sabotage.
That's what she calls tanking. Voluntary sabotage. She's pissed.
Apparently,
man.
Apparently not. 4-7.
She gets it. She gets it.
And they shellacked Detroit. That should have been worse, shouldn't it? You said Walker threw 2 interceptions in the end zone.
In the end zone. The second one, brother, it's a normal drop back, sets his feet, just a beautiful, just lobs it. You're like, oh man, someone's gonna be wide open over there. Yeah, 4 Lions defenders. I'm like, brother.
So somebody ran the wrong route?
I mean, you got to have some like visual like confirmation that there's a player of yours over there. The other one was he tried to rifle one into DJ Moore, and there was a guy right in front of him. So like, they should have scored at least 6 more points, assuming 2 field goals, but probably 10 or 14 more points. So they looked like the 85 Bears on defense against Stafford with no Kenny Galladay. Brian Burns is running circles around Taylor.
He had
Decker.
2 sacks, didn't he?
Oh, brother. They couldn't handle him.
Ooh-wee.
It was beautiful. It was beautiful.
Ooh-wee. You know who that is?
No.
Oh, it's from Rick and Morty. I wouldn't expect you to.
Yeah, you've seen the entirety of my Rick and Morty viewings.
So let me ask you this. Of the teams with 4 wins, that takes you 10 through 15 right now. Carolina, Detroit, New England, Minnesota, San Francisco, Denver. I'm going to ask you a very self-sabotaging question. Which of those teams should fans, not the teams themselves because they would never do it, should fans most hope see their season go in the toilet from here?
Man, it's hard to not pick New England or Minnesota or San Francisco.
I was going to say San Francisco because that's the next block of teams that are quarterback hungry, right?
That's the honey hole for Zach Wilson / Trey Lance.
No, I mean, you mean to tell me if the draft order doesn't finish exactly what it is right now and Dallas is picking 4 in front of Washington, they're not going to trade that out, drop to 14 with San Francisco, let San Francisco jump up in front of Washington to get QB3?
Yeah, but
and still, get a Lions share of picks for it?
Still within that, Dallas may want to only drop back as far as they don't want to drop back that far. So you still want to be the team that's ahead of all of them.
Then that's not possible.
I'm saying if New England, Minnesota, San Francisco, and let's put Denver and Chicago in that mix. If all of those teams are interested in moving up to 4, you want to have the highest pick because Dallas isn't going to want to go back the furthest.
Well, I think at that point, because you're moving out of the top 10 altogether, it's who's going to give me the most first-round picks.
Sure.
That would be, I think, the defining factor more so than the distance of, oh, I get to drop back to 11 instead of dropping back to 15. I would take 4 spots less in the order if it meant you gave me an extra first-round pick than what everybody else is offering.
So there's a built-in advantage to being the team that's picking the highest, but also, yeah, it does ultimately come down to
pay my price.
Giving me the most. Yeah.
Yep, pay my price. But that's a really fun subplot because you look at it and it's like Jets and Jacksonville, we're locking those guys into the top 2. They're going to be quarterback picks. Cincinnati at 3, your only acceptable choice at this point with what happened to Joe Burrow's Penei Sewell, correct? And then you move Jonah Williams to left guard and then draft somebody else at 35, please, for the love of God, Elijah Vera Tucker and play him at right guard. And all of a sudden you have a reasonable offensive line, right?
also sign veterans. That's okay too.
Right. You know, spend some money, which they did this year. To be fair to them, it was just all in players on the defensive side of the ball, it felt like.
Right.
So that's top three. Dallas, next chip on the board right now. I'm looking at Washington needs a quarterback. Behind that, it's Chargers, Justin Herbert. Giants, Daniel Jones. Say what you will, won't about him. If they win another couple games, they're probably going to stay committed to him. Miami, Tua Tagovailoa. Atlanta, immovable contract in Matt Ryan. Carolina, the next quarterback-hungry team. And then you get into this gaggle of New England, Minnesota, San Francisco, Denver, all with four wins. They're all tied. So whose season's going to go in the gutter from here? Because it might set you up for a lot of success to move up. Dallas has to love it because they can say, hey, we could take one of these guys for a salvo and flip Dak Prescott. Or we have the chip that, you know, we always say, who has the pick that starts the draft? Right now it's Dallas.
Dallas. So we're getting four quarterbacks in the top five. We're getting not in the top five. We're getting four in the top 10, three in the top five for sure.
I think so.
I want to ask Shuby a question because you're sitting here at one, the Jets fan.
Driver's seat, baby.
Yeah. And like, how do you feel, man? Like you're 0-10, you got a horrible coach. You got a lot of steps to take here, but you've got Trevor Lawrence and four first round picks over the next two drafts. How do you feel?
I don't know how to answer that question because in an ideal world, they draft Trevor Lawrence and everything's fine. But I know the Jets better than almost anybody, and they'll draft Trevor Lawrence and ruin him, and they would have been better off having like the number two or number three pick and keeping Sam Darnold. It's great to have all these picks, but if the guy making the pick sucks at it, doesn't really matter. And I'm not saying Joe Douglas sucks at it. I like Joe. I think he's the right guy for the job. You got to hit home runs here. You got to make Trevor Lawrence what everybody expects him to be. You got to put pieces around him. They're still the Jets. They still stink, even if they get rid of the coach and change quarterback.
I think you just had your first soundbite right there. I like Joe. He's the right guy for the job. That can apply to a lot of things here on this podcast. I like Joe Douglas. Joe Douglas, dude, his draft class last year, I loved it. And I believe in his ability to draft. Now, I guess where if you want to poke holes in Joe Douglas, it's like, man, you kind of missed the mark with free agency and the money that you had available to build up this team. But maybe that was on purpose because got to get old Gacy out of here.
Any other thoughts regarding the draft order?
Oh, Bills are picking 28. Oh, okay. All right. That was mean. That was mean.
There's no need for that, Joe. It's a Monday. Come on. It's Thanksgiving week. It's a Monday. There's no need for that. Kyle, listen, I apologize.
I came out of the bye week with the Dolphins, Patriots, Jets all losing, the Texans winning, which the Dolphins own the Texans' first and second round picks, and the Bills just sat back and got healthy. So
remind me how I handled you losing on a Hail Mary from Kyler Murray. What did I do?
You tweeted from Locked On Finn's account.
No,
ha, ha,
no.
Ha, ha, ha. Imagine losing to the Cardinals. That's what
okay.
you did.
Okay. What did I do to your face?
This wasn't to your face. I'm just giving this from the Bills angle.
No, it is to my face because I'm sitting here looking at you in the face. But did I not text you and say, man, that sucks. I'm sorry.
You did, yeah.
Oh, okay, I did. So go ahead, get your rocks off. We're done here. We'll be back tonight, YouTube, 7:30, Kyle Krabs, Joe Marino. Draft Dudes podcast with our producer, Chris Shuby Schubert. Glad to have him. Glad to have somebody else who hates the Bills as much as I do. We're done.